Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bajaj Electricals Limited Q4 FY22 results conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Bajaj Electricals 4Q FY22 earnings call. From the management side today, we have with us Mr. Anuj Poddar, Executive Director, and Mr. E.C. Prasad, CFO. Thank you, and over to you, sir, for your opening remarks.
Thank you. Thank you, Dhruv, and good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our investor call today. I'll just share quick opening comments. Hopefully, you've all seen the financial results as well as the investor deck presentation, which we started publishing from the last quarter to give you a little more texture and qualitative information around the results here. You know, it has been and continues to be a tough business environment, particularly due to supply chain disruptions and commodity cost pressure. That said, in that environment, we believe we've had a good quarter. The good news from our side, as you've seen, the single biggest milestone that we've been working towards the last three years is achieving a net debt-free status. We are ahead of guidance on that because our guidance was to achieve that by end of this fiscal on a standalone Bajaj Electricals basis, and then take a few more months to do that on a consolidated basis, but we've achieved that on a consolidated basis. This is on the back of continued good cash from operations. We've done that for 12 quarters consecutively. In Q4, we've had 260 crores of positive cash from operations. On an annual basis, this year it's been over 900 crores in cash from operations. Coming specifically to revenues, on an overall basis, we've had a revenue growth in Q4 of about 6%. Within that, the consumer business has grown at about 6.4%. This is the third consecutive quarter for us of over 1,000 crores of revenue being clocked in our consumer business. If I further dissect, and this you may have seen in the investor presentation, two of the categories which traditionally we've not been as strong in, which is fans and lighting, we started gathering pace on that. Our fans category has grown by over 20% for the quarter as well as on a per annum basis, as well as lighting has grown by over 32% in Q4. Happy to talk about both of these going forward. Appliances is high base effect. Last year, Q4 was continuously seeing pent-up demand, so that's de-grown by about 5%, but on a two-year CAGR basis, appliances has grown by about 14%. On the other side of the business, the EPC on an overall basis has broken even, reported positive. Within that, the illumination business continues to drive growth for us. On a full year basis, illumination has grown at about 16% at the time when the industry overall in that business has actually de-grown, which means we've taken up significant market share in hand illumination business. Last point I'll make is that, you know, this growth is on the back of there's been no price hike that we've taken in Q4, so the margin contraction, et cetera, you must factor that in. We've taken certain price hikes after this quarter during Q1. In the Q4 numbers that you see, there has been no price hike taken by us, and that is baked into the numbers. One last point I'd make is we continue to see certain softness on the rural demand. Bajaj Electricals contribution from rural, and therefore our exposure and vulnerability to rural is slightly higher than the rest of the industry, and that has a bearing on our cumulative aggregated numbers. Rural demand continues to be soft relatively in this entire fiscal. Going forward, from anecdotal information that I gather, hopefully we see in FY23, in few months from now, rural demand should also pick up. With that, I'll take a pause and back to you for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good evening, gentlemen. and I think congratulations on you know, solid improvement on the balance sheet and cash generation that the company has done. I've got a couple of questions. You touched on some of that, you know, when you said rural has impacted the growth. Is there any way you can give us a sense, you know, how much is rural ultimately contributing to the overall ECD business? You know, because we've seen strong growth coming from the fans and lighting business. So I'm just wondering, you know, whether it is appliances which is actually dragging largely by rural, or what is happening over here when you break up the ECD business? That is the first question. Thanks.
So Rahul, you know, as you know, we don't publish the mix or specific slicing of data between rural and urban for various reasons, including the accuracy question on that. It's more anecdotal or directional. But rural continues to be soft, and our exposure to rural is significantly higher than competition, a few times that of higher from the numbers that at least others have spoken about that I've picked up here. So to that extent, you know, that will be a headwind for us in a weak rural economy, but I think, like I said, going forward, I do expect rural economy to pick up, and therefore that should come back to us. I think the other part of it, you know, it's despite that, if you see fans and other growth has happened on a cumulative basis that you see, some of that is a mix of both, you know, actually driving greater market share in both market segments, rural and urban. But within urban also, if you look at our investor deck and some samples are there of the new fan product launches, etc., we are starting to move our fan product portfolio a little more towards premium, more, you know, contemporary, energy efficient, BLDC, aesthetic fans, etc. And therefore, I presume we are gaining market share in that segment also. Our last point I will say in that, you know, while we don't publish it, we do source and, you know, actively monitor research, primary and secondary research from the market. That is all pointing towards this direction of us gaining market share in the fans business, yeah, across segments.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. You know, actually where I was coming from was, you know, if had, you know, since rural has a large part in the ECD business, I'm just wondering, you know, the fans growth and the lighting growth that we are seeing, you know, which is 20% and 30% plus, would this have been higher, you know, had things would have been normalized even on the rural side. Is that a fair conclusion over here?
You know, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And that's the same point I made in Q3 also, that our growth is after factoring in slow rural. So had that been normal, like previous years, you would have seen a better growth across our categories, across our consumer business.
Okay. You know, my second question is on your receivable. No, you know, while there is a significant improvement in the balance sheet, receivable are still at about 1,100 odd crore rupees. Can you help, you know, just decipher what exactly is sitting over here? How much is from EPC, and, you know, can you just help us understand this 1,100 crore rupees? And I think connected with that, I think we can just tell me about this receivable. I have a couple of more questions I'll ask after this. Thanks.
Yeah, so how this total receivable comprised of the predominantly EPC receivables, which is about 910 crores. About 486 crores is coming from the distribution services, but here again we are seeing some strong collections. Even in the current month, April, we had some strong collections coming from there. Of the outstanding, we have had close to about 400 odd crores of retention, so which will come in only after we hand over these projects. On the consumer side, we have got a receivable of 450, but having said that, there is also a factor of the receivables factoring that we do, that is close to 269 crores, which we gross it up. So if we net it off, the CP receivables is only about less than 200 crores.
Rahul, one thing I want to clarify, I think you said 1100, but our total receivables is about 1360 as I see it.
Okay.
So 450 is consumer and 910 is EPC.
Okay, fair enough. You know, the third question I've got is on that WTech tie-up. You know, you also had a tie-up with Cisco earlier, which was essentially towards smart cities. Could you throw some light on, you know, what is happening on that, and what does WTech really bring to the table for the company? Thanks.
So, Rahul, I vaguely remember Cisco one, but that was, I think, a project-specific tie-up. I don't think it's a long-term tie-up. Okay. WTech is a Europe or Germany-based company, you know, POE solutions that they have, they're best in class in that. It's an exclusive tie-up that we have with them for some key sectors in India. We think it will allow us to leapfrog on providing smart lighting solutions powered by them, by this technology. It will integrate well with our IBMS solution and offering in the marketplace, and I think it will provide competitive advantage for us that nobody else right now in the marketplace, none of the other Indian companies actually have that. Having said that, the way we're looking at this is semi-open architecture. So, you know, I think there are multiple technology platforms as such that are, you know, coming up across the world. We don't want to lock ourselves into a singular technology platform as these various technology solutions come up. We are, in our partnering with multiple of these ones, based on what the different traction in different solutions and market segments is, we will continue to offer all of them. What that does for us is a win-win, because, you know, beyond a point, our ability to invest in R&D to create this cutting-edge technology solutions in-house for the Indian market is finite. But when these platforms and technologies are developed for a global basis, our ability to market them, take them to market in India is better than, you know, what some of these people can then do themselves. So we are looking at being the preferred partner of choice for many such technology companies from across the world.
Okay. And my last question is on this.
Sorry, sir, I would request you to please come back in the queue. Thank you so much. The next, before I move to the next participant, I would request all the participants to limit their questions to two per person. Should you have any further questions, you may join the queue back. The next question is from the line of Chetan Gindodia from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, Arun, for the wonderful efforts and balance sheet, you know, achieving the balance sheet targets. Just wanted to understand on the consumer segment. So the margins for the consumer segment were, you know, impacted because of the RM inflation. And you know, so what kind of price hike, you know, are we have we taken in Q1 already? And you know, will this price hike cover for the RM inflation of 200 basis points that, you know, we saw in this quarter? And going ahead, how do you see the consumer segment margin in a medium term basis?
So, Chetan, you know, the price hike we've taken is about 5% average in April for most product categories, led by fans. We had planned or had planned another price hike in Q1, but now we're waiting and watching on that for two things, both to see competition action. Some of them had announced a price hike in May, but I don't think that is fully implemented, as well as we're starting to see in the last 1 or 2 weeks certain softening in commodity price trends. So based on both of these aspects, we'll decide in the near future, the second hike, whether we take that in this quarter or not. So far, we've taken about a 5% price hike. To your question of whether that's adequate, had commodities continued to stay at the level they were at about 2-3 weeks ago, then it would not be adequate, because commodities have continued to increase in April over March. But the May trends look positive, so that's the reason for our pause on that. If that continues on downward trajectory, then I think it should even out soon enough. In terms of the future, you know, while we can't share a projection on margins, etc., going forward, we do think FY22 has been an aberration in terms of commodity cost and therefore margins. And as we cool off, we think and we hope at least latter half, if not all of FY23, we come back to normalized margins and normalized margin expansion programs.
Okay. And just lastly, on the EPC segment, so, you know, going ahead from here on, this segment will continue to be in the profit. And secondly, if you can also share, you know, illumination segment revenue and EBIT, because this is going to merge with the consumer segment, I think.
So on the EPC, you know, we have broken even. I think from here on, it should on an annualized basis be break even. You may have certain quarterly swings. For example, monsoon quarters typically bad, etc., there's a higher cost impact, but on an annualized basis, EPC should be on a break-even level. On illumination, our revenue for the quarter is over 150 crores, and for the year is over 600 crores. The EBIT, we don't report that or disclose that separately. We may, going forward, once the demerger happens, do that, but I will tell you it is a single-digit positive growth.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Kothari from Alpha Equities Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just trying to understand a little bit more about that, you know, the degrowth in appliance. You briefly touched upon the rural slowdown. But I think it would be great if you can give a little bit more color, because at times it becomes very difficult to understand the such a stark difference between the performance of various companies. So can you elaborate a little bit more, you know, and that's number one. And number two, you know, while the market, you know, upturn, downturn, all these things do continue, what is our strategy in terms of, you know, the new product launches, the responding to the market? What is the average decline in rural? What is our decline in rural? Have we done better than industry in rural? You know, can you throw some color that on that? That would be useful.
So on your second question first, you know, when based on the research that we get and third-party research data that we have held, so we've not dropped market share either in rural or urban. If anything, we've grown a little bit of, you know, market share in the urban India, not dropped in rural. So while our aggregate growth may not be as good as the best player, when you cut that between rural urban, we are holding market share. This quarter, like you said, I've seen more fluctuation in top-line performance. So I've seen, and I'm comparing to the best player, our growth is not the same, but the other players who presented a decline in overall revenue. That's not the case. In terms of, again, your question on appliances, the case besides rural urban, I think it's also channel-led. We have seen, or we have seen in Q4 FY21 very strong growth across channels, but particularly led by e-commerce. This year in Q4, we've seen e-commerce growth slow down. E-commerce, you know, some of the Republic Day and other sales, etc., were not as, did not have the same traction this year as they did in the past year. So I think to that extent, that has been one driver for slower performance in the appliances. You cut it by a segmented channel basis. Having said that, our other smaller segments, but they're smaller channels for us, our institutional, our exports, our government, etc., all of those have continued to show growth. Even the modern trade, that last year, FY21, modern trade was lagging, that has grown. But I think amongst all of these alternate channels, which is e-commerce, that was a big driver in FY21, that has been a dampener in FY22, particularly in Q4. So that just to give you a mix, it's a confluence of the rural-urban, geographically speaking, and some mix of channels, particularly on the alternate channels, that they perform differently.
And, you know, from the overall, you know, perspective, from the product portfolio perspective, are you planning any further new product launches? The categories I'm talking about.
So newer categories, no, not at this point. Nothing that we have to announce. As and when we are in a position to announce, we'll do that. But within the categories, as you may have seen in the investor presentation, there are multiple SKUs, and we showcase some of those, including fans and the other categories. Gas stoves is another category that we've been expanding in the last few quarters.
Understood. Last question on my side. From the, you know, sourcing perspective, how much of your total products you are sourcing from China, directly or indirectly, and what are the plans over there to reduce the Chinese dependency, if any?
So our Chinese dependency is extremely low. As I talk about Q4, I think total imports is about 7%. I think 90% of that must be China, so must be 6%. So more than 90% is made in India, and import dependence has been coming down. On an annualized basis, that could go up to about 10%, but compared to where we were 2-3 years ago, that is coming down. And going forward, that may continue to reduce overall on a percentage basis.
Great. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. What I wanted to check was, is it possible to give some color in terms of price hike in some of the key categories in the entire full year FY22, say fans, appliances, lighting?
Actually, I don't remember across, but I mean each category, but overall we have taken in the range of 12 to 17% in FY22 full year basis. And this was, sorry, this was calendar year, so January till about August 21, okay? Post August 21, we've not taken any price hike, August or September 21. The next price hike that we've taken is in April 22.
Understood, okay. The next question I had, you know, with respect to the status of the UP project, where are we in terms of the closure? And how do we see the momentum in the EPC business? Do you think it will be maintained at the current levels, or you think it could see some increase? Because I see, I think the order book for TLT has at least gone up QOQ.
So the UP, you know, I forget, it was 35 or 36 packages. many of those packages are now actually closed. We've also started getting retention money back for some of those packages, which was not the situation we were in 2-3 quarters ago. So there is significant movement in terms of receivables from UP, EC, if you can report, dig that out. So current receivables?
Yeah. So the current receivables from UP is about 240 odd crores.
What was that a quarter ago, do you remember? Just check that. We'll just pull that data up for you. So both in terms of package closures, in terms of retention money, and in terms of receivables, UP continues to be on good track. I would expect that, you know, the actual groundwork will be done in another quarter or so. Monsoon, we should have significant collection, if not in Q1, in Q2 we should have significant more collection, so that receivable should come down significantly. What was the other part of the question? Yeah, on the order book, etc. So transmission line, if you remember our earlier commentary, our order book had gone very thin. On an individual project basis, we were making profits on the transmission project. But on a cumulative basis, because our order book was very low, we had been losing some money. We are happy to see further traction in projects, an order book on transmission business, so that helps us offset our overheads. Usually, all of these projects are designed to make money, so we are confident about our transmission line projects also going forward. Coming back to power distribution projects itself, as the demerger happens, we do expect to see growth in power distribution business itself. But this will not be the rural electrification projects that we had in the past. With the new revamp scheme and other infrastructural spend, we think there is adequate space to do selective, profitable projects in power distribution also. And that is the reason to set up that new company. I think that will give us that flexibility to do that in a risk-calibrated manner.
Got it. And just one more clarification on the logistics project with Mahindra Logistics.
Sorry, just 1 second, Anshul, I'll answer your receivable. So our receivable in December from UP was 337, which is down to about 240 now.
Great. Update on the UP, the Mahindra Logistics, the project at Mahindra Logistics on the logistics side. Can you give us the update where are we sense there is some delay. So in terms of the benefits, how much are of that is already there in this quarter, and how do we see that in FY23 and 24?
So that is continuing, Archal. We are not at end state or ideal state yet, both because of internal and external reasons. External reasons being COVID, we've just gone live with SAP this quarter, by the way, fuel costs, etc. So these, our inventory was elevated. So they are not, because of these various reasons, as a targeted logistics cost as a percent of sales that we wish to be. But we hope we will get there sooner rather than later.
Got it. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Manjari Babat from State Bank of India. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Just a couple of questions. Regarding e-commerce, we just wanted to understand, like, what is the share of e-commerce in your sales if the company is mapping it by the platform-wise? And any significant change in strategy post-COVID for focusing on e-commerce? And my second question is regarding Bajaj. We just wanted to understand whether like it will be a separate carve out, and is the company looking at illumination, distribution, transmission, the same mix of projects or something beyond that? Thank you.
Currently, e-commerce share on a full year basis is about between 11% and 12% of our total sales. It used to be higher, but this year, as I said, e-commerce has seen a certain slowdown in their growth. As a platform, not to do with Bajaj Electricals particularly. In terms of focus, yes, it very much remains the focus. We expect to continue to drive the growth in that going forward. COVID has only accelerated that, but irrespective of COVID, we expect that to remain a growth channel for us. I do believe it will come back to higher growth rates than other channels very soon. In terms of Bajaj carve out, the power transmission and power distribution business will be part of Bajaj. The illumination business will be part of the continuing Bajaj Electricals operations. So that's the way the carve-out will happen. Illumination will not be going that side. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. And one more thing regarding Nirlep, like you're acquiring very interesting brands. So any plan to list it or take it to the market, list it or expand it or something like that?
If you mean in terms of taking it public on the share market, no. So right now that's a wholly owned subsidiary, we acquired 100%. And if anything, we'll look at corporate action within, but there's no plan to separately list that. We think it's going to be a integrated function with Bajaj Electricals. We don't see any benefit of having that as a separate entity because synergies would be lost in that case. Yeah. Separate entity meaning separate public entity. Okay. But having said that, you're bang on right. We believe it's a strong brand. And, you know, over the next 2-3 years, you'll see us do a lot more under that brand as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vihang Subramaniam from Zaba Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So just, I mean, in our conversations when we used to speak like, you know, 1 year back, I think we had like a strong roadmap to sort of reaching double-digit margins in the consumer business, especially by targeting a lot of low-hanging fruits, right? So just wanted to get a sense on where we are when we think about that trajectory. And if you could just remind us again, what are the low-hanging fruits that we can sort of target to kind of at least get to double-digit margins in the consumer business?
Yeah, to be honest, there are no low-hanging fruits, not in this environment. We are in a tough environment. Had it not been for this last 1 year's unprecedented commodity price hikes, etc., or cost hikes, we would have been in a double digit, hopefully in FY22, which is why I'm hopeful that FY23, assuming these things start cooling off, at least second half of the year, we should be getting back to normalized margins. It should be within touching distance of double-digit margin. That's the best guidance I can give at this point of time. And a different way to answer you, which would be consistent with what we've shared before, we only have a low-hanging fruit that we can see to get to double-digit quickly, which we can do, is to stop investing for the future. But we continue to invest for the future. If you look at our publicly spend in Q4 also versus our leading competitor, our spend as a percent of sales is higher than them. If you look at R&D spends, etc., the last 2-3 years, while we don't publish that separately, we've enhanced our spends on that. So these are all, to our mind, investments for the future, which we are not shying away from, and we continue to drive and do.
Understood, sir. And I mean, in terms of SKU rationalization and stuff, like, is all that already behind us?
Like, yeah, that part is behind us. We don't see SKU rationalization here on. We are, in fact, adding SKUs from here on. But these are far more well thought out, strategically enhancing SKUs for the portfolio, not long tails that we're looking to create.
Got it. Sure. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was on fans. So you have done extremely well in overall fans division. I just wanted to know what kind of market share we would have gained this year. And second, where are we in terms of profitability? I remember that our overall fans profitability was well below the overall consumer product division margin. So how are we tracking there?
So on the first question on fans, you know, we don't publish a top market share, but I will give a sense internally. I think we'd have gained about 2-3 percentage points of market share. But from a rank is what we're looking at, and that's what we've spoken on in the past, where we used to be a number 5 rank there. I think as of date, we'll be a number 4 player. So we moved one rank above. We continue to try and improve our rank in the fans category. Sorry, your second question, the margins, I didn't fully hear that.
So our fans margins were relatively lower compared to our overall, say, consumer product division margins or say kitchen appliances margins. So where are we? Have you improved significantly in fans margins with the, you know, scale you have got now, or still our margins are, you know, low in fans?
Compared to our overall consumer margins are similar, just moderate difference. But competition margins in fans are higher because they have typically been premium fans, etc. We've been sub-economy. So as we continue to premiumize our fans margin, and therefore our overall CP margin will both continue to rise.
Okay, got it. And second question was on the MOSFETs.
Sorry, just to add to that, because it's our single largest product category if you look at it. Out of our 3,700 crores, fans is over 1,000 crores. So, you know, that has the largest impact on our margins and everything.
Correct. On Morphe Richard, you know, what you should expect going ahead? This year's performance was not that great. Now you had a, you know, good long-term commitment also. So what kind of improvement one should expect in overall Morphe Richard as a business?
So Morphe Richard, firstly, yes, it has been a disappointing performance through this financial year for 2-3 reasons, not to be defensive. Last year was an exceptional performance. So there is a high base effect, but I don't think that's good enough reason for us to have declined this year. We've seen far more online-offline price conflict in Morphe that the trade has not, you know, accepted this year. And I think that's because of the environment of sharp price increases at 12 to 15%, 17% I spoke about. As those kind of price increases start, you know, normalizing, then our ability to manage online-offline conflict in Morphe is better. In a year like this, it's much tougher to manage that when you're taking significant multiple price hikes in the offline world. An online platform sometimes out of your control into the price management. But more importantly, strategically going forward, since we now have a 15-year roadmap, we will be looking into the future in terms of product development, product portfolio expansion, etc. And how do we have to build that? In the past, we've not meant that strategically. It's been more ad hoc, opportunistic, lead-driven business for Morphe Richards.
Is it fair to assume FY23 onwards we'll see good growth in Morphe Richards overall?
23 or maybe FY24, because now we're starting that process of creating a product roadmap, which we did not. So unlike others, let's say fans that you see now, the last 2 years that we've been working on, you know, getting all of these fans products out, lighting the growth that you've seen right now based on a lot of these changes that we've made. So maybe by FY24, you'll start seeing the impact of a product rollout.
Got it. Very clear, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Participants, if you have any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Roy from Insect Securities and Finance Limited. Please go ahead. Okay, we don't have the participant now. We'll move to the next participant from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. I just had one question remaining. In this result, I see there is an enabling resolution to raise for 300 crore rupees. I wonder, can you just throw some light on that, especially given your balance sheet has improved so much? What is this for? Thanks.
So, Rahul, we don't need that debt. We don't have any immediate plans to raise that. It is purely enabling, as the resolution says, for two reasons. If in the future, for any reason, we want to raise debt, we should have access to that. I'll bring EC into, I'll just finish the comment on that. And also because more from a this access to market, credit rating, etc., we may choose to sometimes just have some of it from a treasury operation so that we're active in the CP and debt market while maintaining cash. So that's more from a being active and having that enabling opportunity should be required. But the reason to have a resolution EC confirm, I think CP paper in particular requires board and maybe shareholder also approval or not. So I think this will also require shareholders, so we want to make sure we have that, the approvals in place, should we ever use, intend to utilize it in future.
Sure, I think that is very helpful. Thank you very much, and all the very best.
Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. I just wanted to check in terms of preparedness for the energy change norms with respect to fans portfolio. Where are we, how do we see that impacting us as well as the industry, and what kind of cost impact this BLDC change could have on a per fan basis if there is any unit? Thank you.
Achal, from a development standpoint, we are prepared for that. Just as of Thursday or Friday, the government has published the Gazette notification for the new star rating. That said, along with that Gazette notification, there's a second part, which is the regulation and rules for the transition that was due to be published anytime this week. We're waiting for that. What that will determine is the exact transition plan as to till when one can manufacture and sell the non-star rated fans. Basis that, we will decide a production and supply and go-to-market timing. And when I say we, I think that's common to all of industry. I say that also in my capacity as Vice Chairman of IFMA. We are waiting for that clarification so that we can all plan our production schedules and go to market. As of now, the industry is waiting for that clarity from the government. But from a development standpoint, we are ready with that.
And you don't see this having a disproportionate impact on the industry or as an opportunity for the players like us to gain significant market share over the smaller regional players?
I do. So, in fact, let me also answer your previous question I forgot. On the cost side, yes, you know, energy rating, energy efficiency star rating will have a cost impact that could vary between 15 to 20%. but I think you may have a certain consumer segment willing to pay that premium. In terms of consolidation, I think this will trigger greater consolidation in the fans industry, and therefore to the benefit of the larger organized players who actually have to meet these standards, because the standards now cannot be played with. There's one other aspect of sweep sizes that we're also awaiting clarification from BIS. But having said that, irrespective of that, we see this being a favorable movement towards consolidation. And consolidation in favor of consumers, not against consumers, because I think this is consolidation in favor of organized players who stand for quality and are committed to deliver their delivery standards, which benefits consumers in a transparent manner.
Understood. And just last question, in terms of the, if you could help us with the inventory and the trade payables for the consumer business.
Trade payables?
Yes, CFO EC will just share the.
Yeah, so the inventory for CP business is 819 crores. And the creditors is 873 crores.
Sorry, was that 819?
819 is the inventory and 873 is the creditors.
Perfect. Great. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rakesh Roy from Insect Securities and Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, maybe I missed, sir. Sir, can you give me the number of year-on-year growth on Morphe, Richard and appliance business compared to FY21-22?
So Morphe has degrown on a full year basis. Morphe is a degrowth about 4.6%.
Okay. And appliance business, sir?
Appliance has grown 13.5% full year basis. Okay. Fans has grown 20.9% and lighting has grown 9.8%. These are all full year numbers.
Right, sir, right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for myself.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Sir, my question was on lighting portfolio. So, in the last few conference, you said that a lot of work needs to be done on the lighting side. So, I just wanted to get an update. Where are we in terms of that and what kind of, you know, outlook you share on overall lighting segment?
So, in the earlier quarters, I've been saying that, you know, from second FY 23, we'll start seeing better performance from us on consumer lighting. But you've got a sampler of that in this quarter itself, Q4, where you've seen that it's in the back of more product launches and also product launches in the space of battens and recessed panels, etc., which traditionally we have not been strong in. So as that continues, we will keep rolling out more products in the coming, in this ongoing FY23 fiscal. And as that happens, our share or revenue in lighting should continue to grow and the margins should also continue to improve because these are higher value products. So we think second half of FY23 should be good for us in consumer lighting.
Okay. Okay. Kitchen appliances as a category, what exactly, you know, is doing good for us or where are we focusing? You highlighted one category, which is gas stove, where you are expanding. But apart from that, if you can, you know, qualitatively help us understand where are we focusing more and which categories are already doing well even in this tough environment.
So, you know, it's a mixed bag. It's a very long tail of product categories. Mixer grinders in general has been slightly flattish right now, given the high base effect. But within that, you know, we are launching the higher wattages, 750,000 watt mixers, etc. We are making some traction in South India, but to be honest, that is a long way to go in terms of having meaningful shares in South India. On the other hand, NPGs, which includes gas stoves, etc., is where we are moving. But it's a much more longer, you know, nuanced answer to that question, to be honest. And we are also seeing more competition in the kitchen appliances that used to be there.
Got it. Got it. And just lastly, if you can just call out A&P spend for the quarter as well as full year, why was?
So for the quarter was about 2.7%, which is at about 28 crores. And for the full year is 118 crores, which is about 3.1%.
Got it. Okay. Q4 last quarter same year?
Sorry, Q4?
Q4 FY21.
Yeah, the 36 crores. Yeah. Q4 21 is the 36 crores.
36 crores. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Manjari Babat from State Bank of India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. One question regarding Starlight Lighting Limited, the merger. Could you elaborate on it a bit? And once merged, is it going to significantly add to your sourcing requirements? Like, will it have some significant impact? Will it ease your sourcing, or it is not going to have a significant impact, like 5% or 2%, 10%? What is the sourcing that you will receive from them?
So the next step on the Starlight merger, on 31st of May, we have a shareholder meeting for approval of the merger. Post that, I think, you know, we should have a visibility on the merger actually taking place there. In terms of the sourcing, so that sourcing, irrespective of this corporate action, sourcing is something we've been doing from Starlight any which way. We have historically been sourcing water heaters. Starlight's capacity of water heaters has been increasing, and therefore, to that extent, our sourcing from them for water heaters has been increasing. The other product category that in the last, I think, 18 months that they set up capabilities, they are assembling and supplying mixer grinders to us and hand blenders and choppers and certain other, you know, smaller product categories. So that continues, but the single largest sourcing from them is water heaters. That is a slightly seasonal category, so it doesn't happen evenly through a year through all the quarters, but is more focused on two quarters.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. We have a question from the line of Hitesh Tong from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you shared, my question is pertains to the inventory level of the consumer product category. Recently, we have seen a substantial rise in the inventory level of most of the consumer companies, either because of significant price rise or building up the inventory largely to cover up the upcoming demands due to supply disruption, to avoid the supply disruption and all. But for our case, I believe there is a kind of a flattish inventory in the consumer product category. So is it change in any strategy to building up the inventory in the company side, or say, or anything else? How can we read this? This is my first question.
The case, to be honest, I think it may be relatively flattish between March 21 and 22. But I think March 21 probably was much higher than March 20 was, if I remember correct. Or at least March 19 for sure. So I would just say March 21 itself was a slightly elevated inventory. Therefore, to that extent, I think this is elevated by our yardsticks. We would want it ideally to be lesser than this. But we're not fully able to do that because, like you said, COVID disruptions, etc. So we have to sometimes keep some buffer, and there is volatility in what supplies you get when. It's not easy nowadays to plan that accurately as we typically like to plan that. But I would say this is on the higher side from what we traditionally like to keep.
Okay. Got it, sir. So my next question pertains to our retail touch points. Can you throw some light how much retail touch point by the end of FY22 and was it, and how much it was it in FY21?
It is 2,30,000. It's mainly increased by about 1,000. So,
okay.
That's 2.3 lakhs. Okay. Sorry, on an annual basis, it increased by about 11,000. On a quarterly basis, about 1,000. But as we've been flagging off in the past, now our focus on expanding that is, you know, that will happen organically, but it focuses more on enhancing sales per counter. So, therefore, you'll see sales grow faster than the actual distribution reach will.
Got it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. Thank everyone for joining us. We believe that in a tough environment, we've had a good, reasonably good quarter, both on certain milestones that we've hit on a P&L basis, and most importantly, the milestone that we've hit on a balance sheet, which has been 3 years in the making, and we're happy with that. Going forward, I think the big driver for us this year will be the demerger that we will see through in coming year, in calendar year 23 onwards.
We look forward to driving growth across all these businesses in the two independent entities. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.